Welcome to Open Studio, a program where we put a spotlight on the arts, artists, and issues in the cultural community. I'm Tom Musgrave. The Arts Fields Prize competition began in 2013 as a way of celebrating the best work by Southern artists. Each year, the organization awards more than $100,000 in prizes, including a $50,000 grand prize. I'm joined today by the winner of the 2025 Art Fields Grand Prize, Mitchell Burleson. Mitchell is a textile artist and graduate student in the University of Kentucky School of Art and Visual Studies. He won the prize for his work titled, Oh Lord, I Have My Doubts. Welcome, Mitchell.
Hey, Tom. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, great. First off, give us a description of your piece and what it means to you, what it symbolizes.
Yeah, for sure. Oh Lord, I Have My Doubts is a piece about 40 by 40 inches. It is a hand-woven textile in a steel fabricated frame. The textile is woven in a technique called ongulé. Ongulé insets a structural curve into the fabric. The weaving structure itself can be anything. We're talking about changing the density of the threads back and forth to create this curve. Anyways, the fabric is a kind of white, black, and gray wash behind this structure, this fabricated steel frame that kind of depicts wrought iron gates, or what we could call the gates of heaven. I've had a battle with alcoholism over the years, and this piece was kind of, after finding my sobriety, my way of expressing, you know, I don't know if I'll be able to kind of see the gates of heaven like I was taught about in the Southern Baptist Church as a kid, based on, you know, my actions throughout my life. Just kind of a hard reflection on what I've done and where I want to go.
Did the process of working on the piece help you kind of work through what was going through your mind?
Oh, of course. Before I found my sobriety, I was working in, I had my own production weaving business. And as I was going through the steps and working my program, that's when I started to kind of shift my focus away from the production weaving business and more towards studio art, which is where the majority of my practice lies today. This kind of transition fell in line with my steps really nicely. And as I'm thinking about who I want to be and the changes I want to make in my own life, I'm seeing these things get processed in the work in this really beautiful abstract manner, akin to kind of abstract expressionism of the 50s and 60s.
Does the process of doing art, and I know it's different for everybody, it's a different experience for every artist, does it help you maintain your sobriety?
I wouldn't say that the process of making art maintains my sobriety. That's kind of my job as an individual, you know, working your steps and being attentive to your habits is really where that kind of staying power comes from, but it doesn't hurt. I see the making of the art not as a replacement for my prior addictions, but as a way to kind of process the more emotional side of what I've been through and what I've put others in my life through. You know, things that I'm not always proud about, but kind of need to be talked about in a way. And the biggest kind of talking point in my work right now has been the connection to my family and to where I come from. A lot of that is rooted in the church. So there's an interesting relationship I have to religion and my family that kind of all gets processed in the work itself. My time at the loom is really invaluable to me as a method of therapy, you know, being able to have a physical act that's tied to emotional processing is really important, and is something that they're incorporating, that psychologists are incorporating into regular therapies such as EMDR. It's a way for me to kind of have a resolution or a physical outcome to processing my own emotions.
Does the act of making the art, of storytelling through art, help you be able to talk about it?
Yeah, so one of the things that I do to connect with my viewer is I want to make sure that I'm being cognizant of different entry points. So some people will view these works as purely abstract color fields and find some enjoyment, some fulfillment in, you know, just seeing something that's beautiful. Then there's other viewers that will be able to kind of dive into the work through titling, through different techniques I'm imploring, through historical meanings of color, and kind of pull out their own meanings from the works that I'm creating. I do like to leave some things vague and some things extremely specific, depending on the piece, and kind of how I want to reach my viewer.
How did you learn you'd won the Art Fields Prize?
Yeah, the day I learned that I had won the grand prize was super exciting. So me and my partner, we moved here so I could come to grad school. And while I'm in Kentucky, we figured I might as well participate in some of the cultural activities that Kentucky has to offer, one of those being the Kentucky Derby. So me and my partner, my girlfriend Hannah, we went out to Churchill Downs. And we spent all day out watching the horses. It was a great time, you know, despite the rain. But we had kind of had our day's worth, and I was looking at her, and I said, "Hannah, I'm about down $20." And as soon as I said that, I felt my phone vibrate in my pocket. And I don't know if you've ever been over there, but leaving Churchill Downs kind of towards the last races of the night can be kind of a hectic experience. So we're just in this crowd of people and my phone's buzzing, and I it's a number that I don't recognize, but I pick it up, and on the other end there's a woman just saying, "You won, you won." And I, in all this madness, I could barely hear. I said, "Hold on, I'm going to have to call you back." And I turned to Hannah and this mob of people, and I say, "Hannah, I think I just won Art Fields." And there's some tears shed, and we got out of Churchill Downs, and I called them right back, and they confirmed our suspicions to me. So from down $20 to up $50,000 is, you know, it's quite the rush, but something that doesn't happen to every artist every day.
That's a good day at the track.
Oh, for sure.
From the gamblers I've talked to.
Yeah.
So that amount of money could be considered a life-changing amount for a lot of people. How has it changed your life as a working artist?
You know, as a working artist, the regular income can be few and far between. Especially as a student right now, in our grad program, we're fortunate enough to get a stipend from the University of Kentucky, but that doesn't cover, you know, everything. Me and my partner split expenses. But the biggest thing that this money has given me is the ability to kind of take a breath and live comfortably for a little bit, not have to worry about where bills are getting paid and picking and choosing. You know, I can kind of take a load off and breathe. And then it's going straight into the savings and then hopefully a down payment on a house down the road. Really, I want to be able to use this money to keep making art in whatever way possible. And one of the biggest things for me in making work is also making sure that I'm taking care of myself and taking care of the people around me. You know, making sure that we have a comfortable place to sleep and food to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and like not a lot of people realize, I think if they thought about it, they would realize it. But many artists are self-employed. You're your own boss. And so you're responsible for the bottom line. And so I imagine entering competitions like these things is more than just, a lark. Let's see. It could be considered part of your strategy for...
For sure. There's a lot of time spent reviewing the written materials that kind of support the work. It's one thing to create good art. It's a whole other thing to create good art that also has a thorough meaning, a well-explained meaning. It's kind of the combination of these two things that bring the prizes and kind of the success or the financial success in the art world. And that's where a lot of my time is spent in making sure I'm choosing just the right words, to perfectly articulate what my work is about.
How much time do you spend on that?
I would say that it's more the time that I spend making the work.
Okay.
A lot of my work is seen as experiments until there's a point in time where it's not anymore. Mm-hmm. So I'm trying things. I'm doing new techniques, combining techniques in ways that kind of interest me and support my long-term goals as an artist and as a weaver. And then there's a point where you look up at a piece and you realize, oh, this is more than just an experiment. This is something that kind of supports everything that I'm trying to do right now. And that's when I kind of take a step back and formalize the language that surrounds that work.
There's a lot that goes into it, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot more than people think. Yeah. Art is a full-time job, yeah. And I think that we should be talking about that much more.
Well, I mean, and as we mentioned before, you're your own boss.
Yeah.
I mean, you, and we'll talk about what you're doing at UK in a moment. But you're your own boss as an artist.
Yeah.
You're a single person marketing, chief financial officer, and promoter for yourself. And you're right. I don't think people hear that enough, and it doesn't get talked about enough.
Especially, it was made clear to me when I was running my production weaving business. You know, it's not just the making. There's so much marketing. There's so much advertising that happens kind of around your work. That's all, you know, it's not just you're posting or you're just making. You're making everything. You're taking all the pictures. You're editing all the photos. You're doing all the copy for your marketing. You're updating your website. Every aspect of running a business is present in being an artist. And it's not always the most glamorous way to look at things, but I think it's a reality that more of us should be talking about.
Yeah. And all of that goes into winning a huge prize like Artfield. It's not just the work, it's how you communicate about it.
It's all that and just a smidge of luck.
Yeah.
That's for sure. You know, I know artists that I consider to have much better quote unquote marketing than I do, that are making very interesting work, very beautiful work, but that don't get these same types of opportunities financially. It's a shame, you know. It's not just about what the work looks like, though.
Well, let's talk about what you're a graduate student at UK. We mentioned at the top of the segment. What are you learning right now at UK, and what are you teaching?
Yeah, so we'll start out with the learning side of that question. Right now, I am dead set on finding ways to screen print onto loose yarns. That's where the bulk of my research as a grad student lies right now. This is something called warp printing. So there's warp and weft in weaving. It's kind of hard to talk about, but anyways, my goals are to be able to screen print onto the warp and then put that onto my loom to be able to weave. There's varying degrees of legibility of the image, which I find extremely interesting. You know, what is seen, what is distorted through technique, what's distorted through intention. There's a lot of kind of angles that I'm approaching this technique from that are helping me tell stories about substance and about community. Then on the second half of that question, the teaching front, right now I'm teaching a class called AS200, which is a digital arts class. The bulk of the material is covering the Adobe suite, specifically Adobe Photoshop and Illustrator. My goals with the class are to give students a good foundation so as they move through their education, they can find different ways to kind of abstract process and physical and digital outcomes for their work. So one thing that's kind of a a misunderstanding when we talk about digital art is that it's always a digital outcome. Especially in my body of work, a lot of times the digital work becomes a physical outcome, either through computer-controlled looms or laser cutting, 3D printing, things like that have become really important to the future of my art practice. So I want to be able to kind of give that to my students and show them that there's a lot of opportunity in it when we collaborate with technology.
I think that's important for, or maybe for some listeners to bridge that, because if I were just listening and I heard you say earlier in the interview that you work on a loom, I've got this picture in my mind of a very old school traditional art form, and then to hear you talk about designing things digitally for a physical outcome and making that bridge. Bridging those two is sort of if you didn't have you here to explain it, it would be kind of a conundrum, I think.
Yeah, it's something that for a lot of people, even for a lot of artists, exists in the abstract, but especially with the current trajectory of technology, I think it's something that you're going to see more and more as time moves on.
Traditional art forms,
yeah.
melding with modern technology.
Yeah, and when you talk about the loom, it's interesting that the loom is kind of the blueprint of our early computers. Ada Lovelace had a lot to do with the kind of transition between a loom being a human controlled machine to being an automated machine, and how we kind of design for those automations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen your loom in your studio, yeah. And the thing that stands out to me is this is not very different from looms that I might see in a museum either. It's interesting that there are still art forms that. Well, there's a lot of art forms I think that perhaps not much has changed in the practice, but modern ideas seep in. That's sort of mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's kind of all about where you're coming from. You know, a lot of the reason we're using the tools that we use, in my case the loom, is because they're really effective. They're really efficient ways of making. There are ways that they could be improved, sure, but there's also at least in my practice, an aspect of tradition that's really important. We talked before about my production business, but I really come from a craft background. My grandmother was a quilter and my father is a woodworker. So this attention to the craft itself is really important to me and to my work. I could go on and try to kind of change the weaving process itself, but then that would kind of take a lot of the human out of it. It would not give me my hands much to do, mm-hmm. let's say. So it becomes really important that there's kind of a tactile feeling in the making process that's kind of ever present.
Kind of gives you a sense of satisfaction, I imagine.
Yeah.
So what's next for you?
That's kind of a loaded question. I have I'll graduate in the spring of 2027. That's also when my thesis show for the University of Kentucky MFA program will be. So right now I'm figuring out the specifics of what that thesis show is going to look like. Still kind of continuing this new screen printing practice, and trying to see where that overlaps with my older painting practice that's kind of tried and true for me. And then just to get my degree. Then after that, I'm going to try to find some jobs in education, see if we can train up a new generation of artists to make something better than what came before. But other than that, just keeping on making. There's very few days in my schedule that you don't catch me at the loom for at least a little bit.
Well, that's how you get better, right?
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank Mitchell Burleson, winner of the 2025 $50,000 Art Fields Prize, for joining us on Open Studio, and we look forward to seeing what's next for you.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Listen to Open Studio every Friday during WUKY's Morning Edition and in the afternoon during All Things Considered. Or listen to extended segments at the Open Studio podcast, available at WUKY.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Do you have an idea for an Open Studio segment? We're always on the lookout for news and events in Central Kentucky's arts and cultural community. Email us at openstudiowuky@gmail.com or visit our Facebook page, keywords Open Studio on WUKY. Your idea may make it on the air. I'm Tom Musgrave. Thanks for listening to Open Studio on WUKY.